Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus, the risen Christ. Amen. As I said before, it's good to be back from Minnesota, to be back here at Blessed Savior. And there are some things, though, that I really do miss about being in that city. One of them was the wonderful Minnesotan accent. I'm sorry, it kind of happens. I go and say big, bagel. I don't think I'm going to do bubbler, though, for a water fountain. That's Wisconsin. I'm not going to do that. But there were so many wonderful memories that we would have at NYG. All the kids waking up really early in the morning after walking 16 kilometers, and that's about 9 miles or so, or more, just to get to our next place. Also, the wonderful food and the wonderful times that we got to enjoy being in fellowship with one another. And, of course, the wonderful times we had learning about God's love, about how He is real and present and with us always. But you see, the entire time of NYG, the theme of it was based around Psalm 46, the psalm that we had in our opening sentences that we heard one of our youth, Nick Chosa, proclaim today for us. It is a psalm that we know very well within the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. In fact, the Lutheran Church's greatest, you could say, national anthem, "The Mighty Fortress Is Our God," is based on that psalm. So today I want to give a little bit of what we learned in Minnesota at the National Youth Gathering and express it all to you about our real, present God. But you see, the psalmist knew troubles in this world. When the psalmist wrote this, he knew of the harshness of the world around him. He knew of the troubles that he would face. And yet, within all of it, he still praises God. And it all can be broken down by those three words that you see up there: that God is real, that He is present, and that He is God. For you see, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Real, present God. Our God is real. I'm sure this comes as no shock to anyone sitting here in church. We are all redeemed members of Christ's body. We know that God is real. We know that He came into this earth, suffered, and crucified for us. This is a surprise to no one. And yet, think about it. God is real. Not only that, He was really here on earth, really in the flesh, really dealing with everything on this earth. Because the problems on this world are real. And so we need a God who is real. We've all experienced the realities of this world. The mountains quake with violence. We can see that earthquakes cause great devastation. Right before it went on NYG, there was those terrible earthquakes in California. And for them on the West Coast, the tremblings of the earth and the mountains are a real threat. They live with that present danger all around them. It is a real dangerous time. We know that there are also floods that come. We've seen it here in St. Louis and the surrounding areas and all the places in America, how lives are uprooted from it, how livestock is lost, homes are gone, and very families have to be moved. It's terrifying. And even more so, death is a constant, real part of our lives. For every one of us has seen some sort of death in a family, death of a loved one, of a friend. This, my brothers and sisters in Christ, is real. And so the need for a real God is needed. The psalmist knew this reality. He speaks about the earth trembling, the seas raging and foaming. And yet, amidst all of this real danger, he doesn't fear, for he believes in a real God. For he believes that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The danger of this world is real, but God is constant. God is real. He knew the struggles that we had because he faced those same struggles that we did in Christ as he walked this earth. God is indeed real, and he is present with us. For you see, there is a river who makes glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Real, present God. The word of God flows like a river. It strengthens his city, the holy habitation, us, his church. We see and read and hear everything that the Lord has done for us, how he came to this earth as a young, small baby, innocent and vulnerable, how he grew up just like all of us, having a childhood, having an adolescence. Jesus went through puberty. Just imagine how awkward of a time that would have been for the Son of God. He also loved. He wept. Jesus was hungry. He needed sleep. God was present with us. He knew all the things that we would be going through. He knew of the struggles we would have in this world. And so he came down, was enfleshed by the Holy Spirit, and came to be with us. And he spoke to us truths, taught us how to live in this world, how to be present, how to be Christ to this world. He knew it would be difficult. He knew that the problems of this world would be around for a long time. That they weren't just a problem for the past, they weren't just a problem for the future, but they would always be real and present with us always. While we were in Minnesota, we heard a lot of different topics. There were sessions about so many things that any of the kids could go to. One of their favorites, I remember, was one based off of, I think it was Fortnite, loot boxes, and video games. And it wasn't about video games. It was a nice, clever title, though everyone enjoyed it, all of the kids who went to it. But it was about bullying, about how online there is a massive resurgence and a massive influx of people cyberbullying over headsets when kids are playing. But even more so, it goes beyond that. Social media has become now a great place for bullying. We see it many times, and because of this, it led to other things. Another constant thing that was brought up within the NYG was the talk of mental health, depression, and suicide. I remember Haley and I went to see a friend. He is a good friend of mine and a pastor who was actually doing a session during the time at NYG. And so as good friends, and because he saw us and gave us two large bear hugs that I'm still trying to recover my back from, he's a big guy. We wanted to go show him support and go to his session. And I will never forget the title of it. It was called Suicide, Dying to be Free. And now when he did this session, it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, as any of the youth would tell you if they've ever went through that, 4 o'clock in the afternoon is a late time. You're waking up at 7 o'clock or earlier in the morning. Pastor Matt says if you want breakfast to go to Caribou Coffee, which we need more of here, by the way. Get rid of all the Starbucks and put some Caribou Coffees in here. I would be a happy pastor. But if you wanted to get food, wake up at 7:45, join Pastor Matt and Haley as we go over to get some breakfast. Come on, 8:15, we go off to the convention center and basically spend all day from about 9 o'clock till 4 o'clock or even later in sessions and learning about God. So when it came to 4 o'clock, everyone was tired. They wanted to go home. They wanted to go get some food, get in line for the long wait for the food trucks and stand out in the hot sun. Okay, maybe they didn't want to do that. I know I didn't. But I'll never forget, Haley and I went to my friend's session at 4 o'clock on a Saturday, the second to last day of NYG sessions. It was standing room only. And it wasn't filled with adults. There were some. It was overflowing with teenagers, high schoolers, who knew present danger that they faced of suffering, depression, suicide. There wasn't a dry eye after he shared his own story, his own struggle with suicide, of him almost completing it not too long ago. It was hard, but there you saw there was real present danger in this world. And yet he proclaimed that there is a God who knew this, who came into this world and was present with us, who gave us hope, who gave us courage, who gave us the wonderful gift of himself upon the cross, suffering for all of the sins of the world, who gave himself as a real present sacrifice, as a gift to all of those that whenever the world is putting themselves on them, when all the world seems so much, when the present dangers and the struggles of this life seem too much, there is Christ, a real, present God, there for his children, there for all people who cling to him. Because of all the dangers of this world, they are nothing compared to God. Because God can utter his voice and the earth melts. For Christ proclaims, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. He is present with us in our dangers. In fact, today, right here, right now, we will partake of his real present body and blood to strengthen us, to preserve us in times of trial. God is there for us. Even when the danger and the world is present and trying to put us down, to hurt us, and when the evil foe Satan tries to condemn us, God is there with us, right here, right now, in the present, sustaining us and giving us hope. But there is one more part of this psalm. For you see, the psalmist says, the God of Jacob is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. That's important. Because God of Jacob means he is the God of the living. The God who remembers his promises. The God who does mighty deeds. For the psalmist writes, come, behold the works of the Lord. How he has brought desolations to the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Real, present God. God is mighty and powerful. In the midst of all the chaos of this world, he commands us, he bids us to be still, to know that he is God, a God who knows the real dangers, a God who really put himself in our shoes, that he was present with us, that he is present with us now, helping and sustaining us. And he promises that he is God, that nothing in this world can overcome him. For all of the flaming arrows of our foe, of Satan, all of the bows and the spears and the great chariots of the world, the great weapons of war against God's people, the great weapons of destruction, they mean nothing in the face of God. For He is our fortress. The God of hosts, the God of armies, heavenly armies is with us. He fearfully, wonderfully made us. He knows us intimately. As the psalmist writes, He knows us before the foundations of the world, for He knit us together in our mother's womb. He is a God who knew even before creation itself the plans that He had for you, plans to prosper you and not to hurt you, plans that would glorify Him, plans that would make you and makes you into His sons and daughters, redeemed by Christ. He fearfully and wonderfully made us in His own image and sets us apart as through Christ as heirs to His kingdom, which will have no end. The time at the National Youth Gathering was nothing short of awe-inspiring. I remember standing there the last day we were in Minnesota. It was Monday morning, and we were surrounded at the U.S. Bank Stadium. There was over 25,000, maybe 28,000 Lutherans, Christians, there with us. I learned during that week that many people were brought to the Lord, were baptized in pools in their hotels, for they came to know the love of Christ. And while I was there, surrounded by the youth here at Blessed Savior, my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, surrounded by the many thousands upon thousands of Christians, I closed my eyes and we sang a hymn. It was "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." And I just stood there, didn't sing, I just closed my eyes. I heard 28,000 voices uplifting their praise to God. And all I could think was, this is what heaven will be like. Where all people, young, old, those with us now and those who have gone to eternal glory, will sit around the throne of God and praise Him on high. They will sing hymns of gladness, where there will be no more pain, no more suffering, for God Himself will wipe away all the tears from our eyes. Until then, we came back to Earth, loaded up on two vans and drove 10 hours down, which, by the way, is a long time if you're driving. 10 hours with a bunch of teenagers. Oh, boy. Also, boys, put on deodorant. You smell. I don't know how my parents ever went on without that. It was a great time, though. For we learned about, despite all the friendships we made, the connections that we made, the bonding that happened, we learned about our Savior, about a God who knew our struggles, a God who is there with us in the midst of all problems, a God who promises that, yes, He is God, and that means everything, a God who knew you before creation, a God who has made you in His own image, a God that you can go to in prayer, and He promises that He will listen, that He will be there, and that He will shelter you, and that He will be with you always to the very end of the age. So He knows all of our woes. He knows all of our concerns. He knows all of our anxieties, and He promises to be there for you, for me, in the present, in the past, and the time to come, until He comes again in glory. But we remember that the God of Jacob is our fortress. The Lord of hosts is with us. He is our real, present God. Amen.